Two Sundays ago, our gospel gave us an insight into what it means to pray. As we saw our Lord praise the Samaritan leper who returned to give thanks. And we know that that Greek word to give thanks is that same root as the Eucharist. And so here at Mass, we too need to be praying a Mass of thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God the Father for all the love that He has bestowed on us through His Son. For the love of the Son who died for our sins and is offering up that sacrifice to the Father in which we are able to participate by virtue of our baptism. Every Mass we are giving thanks to God if we are praying the Mass appropriately. Last week, we saw an additional attribute of what prayer is to look like, as we saw our Lord tell us that we need to be praying with persistence, perseveringly, without growing tired. And certainly we know that this applies to the Mass as well as our own personal prayer lives. If we're going to say that the Mass is the greatest prayer, the prayer par excellence, then we need to persist in praying that Mass, going to Mass each week or even daily. And each week, or even daily, praying the Mass, uniting our hearts, our minds, our prayer to the prayer of the priest, addressed through the Son in the unity of the Holy Spirit to God the Father. Our prayer needs to be a prayer of thanksgiving. Our prayer needs to be persistent. And today our Lord gives us a third attribute of what our prayer needs to be. He speaks today in the Gospel of what our prayer posture needs to be. Now, certainly, I think that too many of us can read this gospel and think, ooh, our Lord is saying that we need to sit in the back like the tax collectors and never, ever, ever sit in the front row. I'm sorry, ladies in the front row, but you are with the Pharisee. Everybody else is trying to hide behind you. But I think that the posture that our Lord is speaking of is something a little bit deeper. Certainly, it is important what external actions we have. And we want those external actions to be coherent. We want them to be truly reflective of our internal disposition. But more important than our external actions, the posture that our Lord is calling us to is one of honest humility. Where is our heart? We see that prayer posture in the tax collector who comes into the church, or in this case, comes into the temple. Honestly assessing who he is in the eyes of God, he says, I am a sinner. I am not worthy even to look you in the eye, O God, for I am a sinner and I am filled with that healthy shame that says, I need you, O God, to have mercy on me, a sinner. And he beats his breast in contrition. This tax collector, we could say, is in right relation with God. And his prayer is beautiful. Because of its honesty, because of its humility. And so we too want to make sure that our prayer has this proper posture, that it stems from honest assessment of who we are in the eyes of God. For what we want to remember is that our prayer is not merely reflective of our relationship with God. Our prayer is our relationship with God. How we pray shows how we relate to the Lord. For many of us, we may suffer the temptation of the tax collector. Certainly, it's the temptation that has existed in the hearts and the lives of men since the beginning, since in the garden, when the serpent tempted Eve and said, God is lying to you, and if you eat the apple, you will be like gods, knowing and being able to choose right from wrong. So too, we are like the tax collector, we are faced with the temptation, just like the tax collector, to go into the church, not to pray to God in honest humility, but rather to respond to God like Eve and say, I'm going to know what's right and wrong. The tax collector, we see, goes to the temple and it says he does not pray to God. Rather, it says he says a prayer to himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity. Somehow I am better than everybody else. They're all sinners, but I am in doing everything right. I fast twice a week. I pay my tithes. I'm here in the temple. I'm doing what I should. His lack of humility blinds him to the truth that all of us are sinners before God. All of us have fallen short. And what's most sad is that this tax collector, in his pride, in his lack of humility, is not only cut off from God, not only is he not receiving God's mercy, but he doesn't even know it. He thinks he's doing it right. He's going to temple. He's paying his tithes. He's going through the motions. And he does not even realize that his heart is far from God, that he is truly dead, cut off, isolated, not only from God, but cut off and isolated from his neighbor and his neighbor's needs and wants. He looks at them and he despises them. He is alone in his arrogance and in his sin. And so too, so often, we find ourselves in that same position, cut off. How many times have we spoken to somebody and they've told us, I'm not a bad person. I don't commit adultery. I don't do this, that, or the other. I'm a good person. And they fail to recognize their need for mercy. How many times do we hear people say, I am a sinner? Is that truly the response that each and every one of us has when we look ourselves in the mirror? A few weeks ago, Pope Francis had an interview in which he was asked to describe himself. He was asked, well, how do you really see yourself? And he says, I am a sinner. That's how the Pope sees himself. But yet I've encountered so many people, and I'm sure you have as well, who don't see themselves as really bad sinners, who don't see themselves as in need of God's mercy, who think that they've got it all figured out, that they're going through the motions, they're doing the right thing, and in their pride, they're cutting themselves off from God. And so our Lord in today's gospel says he addresses this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness. How easily we can be convinced of our own righteousness. And so how good it is that every Mass, Holy Mother Church tries to remind us through the prayers just who we are. We begin with the sign of the cross, and the words, the Lord be with you. But we then move immediately into the penitential rite. And we confess that it is through my most grievous fault, that I have sinned. We don't point and say, all these other people around me have sinned. We don't say, well, everybody is a sinner. We're all sinners together. I've done it. And it's my fault. And I need you, Jesus, to have mercy. I need you, Lord, to have mercy. How important for us to remember this. Because humility, that honest assessment of who we are in the eyes of God, that we are His creatures who have fallen short and we are in need of a Savior to reach down from heaven with His grace, to lift us up, to bring us to good to new life, to bring us to joy. This is the good news, that God loves us and He wants to save us from our sins. He wants to raise us up, as Jesus says at the end of the gospel. He wants to exalt us. If our prayer, and we've said our prayer is our relationship with God, if our relationship with God is to be good, honest, and true, it must be rooted in humility. The honest assessment of who we are before God, that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we are, in the words of St. Augustine, all beggars before the good God of mercy. We don't like to think of ourselves in that way. We are all tempted, like the Pharisee, to be self-righteous. But that is not the way to open our hearts to receive the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God. That is not the way to be open to the needs and the love and the lives of others. So then let us listen to this parable which Jesus has addressed, not only to the Jews of his time, but is addressed to us in our hearts. And let us be open to humbling ourselves before God, to admitting our sins, to going to confession and confessing and praying the prayer of this tax collector. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For in so humbling ourselves, we open ourselves to the gift of God, who desires to exalt us in the life of heaven.